Hey everybody, I know this is not how the show usually starts, but I wanted to interject something in before we get going today on our Smoky Mountain Wrestling podcast, and that is, on episode 166 of the Jim Cornette Experience, the great Brian Last, friend of the show and former guest on Booking the Territory and the Smoky Mountain Pod, he and Jim Cornette talked about Beulah Bush, and ironically, Doc Harper and I recorded this episode, which is episode number 23 of our Smoky Mountain Wrestling podcast. We recorded this episode a few weeks back before Jim and the great Brian Last talked about Beulah Bush. So we poke a little fun at Beulah getting an award in this episode, but I wanted to say, because we did not know at that time that Beulah Bush was deceased, even though she was obviously an older woman when she was in this episode, I just wanted to say, hey, anybody out there, family or friends of Beulah Bush, as if you listen to the Smoky Mountain Wrestling podcast, we send our condolences. I know it's many years later, but we poked a little fun at Beulah during the episode, but it's all in fun. All in just an honest good time. So Beulah Bush, rest in peace, and enjoy the rest of the show. Rest in peace, Beulah. Welcome back, everyone, for this week's Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast, where this week we are tackling Smoky Mountain Wrestling, episode number 23, which aired July 4th of 1992. We are still at the Cumberland High School in Cumberland, Kentucky. I stand corrected from last week's episode or a week before. I don't fucking remember. Doc, how are you doing? And then we got some business to take care of before we jump into this week's episode.
Well, I'm doing great, but I don't want to bury the headline of the story. Without any further ado, without any bullshit, I'd like to introduce to the show 6'1", 260 pounds of jip jiving, socializing, hip hopping. When the lightning bolt strikes, look out, Hard Body Harper.
That's right, baby.
Making his debut.
We made the announcement a few weeks ago on Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast. I believe it was on the January the 12th, 2017 episode, that Hard Body Harper, the third man in the booth, well, actually second because he's fucking much better than Doc Turner, would be joining the Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast, and here he is making his debut. So what did you call him, Doc? This hip-hop, what? Is that Tim Horner bullshit that you quoted just now?
Well, you know, Tim Horner's out of my doghouse, and Dixie Dynamite's in there, so I can start quoting Tim Horner now.
You better leave Scott Armstrong alone. I mean, that's all I'm going to
say. Well, I got to tell you that after this episode and in the next couple of weeks, we might have to swap tenants in the doghouse and put Tim Horner back in there, but we'll get there soon enough.
We sure will. Y'all ready to kick off this week's episode of Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast?
Fuck yeah.
All right, we're back in bumfuck Kentucky, so let's do it.
Oh, Jesus. Stop making fun of the people of Smoky Mountain like Dutch Mantel. All right, Bob Cottle, Dutch Mantel, they set the table, as always. Dutch tells us that the guest on Down and Dirty with Dutch this week is going to be Buddy Landell. Doc and Harper, I don't have much here, but any thoughts on the opening segment, Doc?
Well, did you notice that Dutch is wearing acid wash jeans?
Yeah.
And a bow tie?
That's what makes Smoky Mountain great, though.
Did you notice? I didn't bury it.
It you know what? It's one of those things where when we first started watching Smoky Mountain, if you remember episodes 1 and 2, I would always poke fun at the stonewashed jeans and the rayon shirts that the guys would have on, and I'd be like, God, that's so fucking 1990s. And now it's like you become desensitized to it. So now that you say it, yes, I noticed, but
like the mullets.
Oh yeah, it's the mullet. It's the mullet all over again. It's so 1990s. That is what wrestling was back then. So yeah, kind of, sort of. I mean, Dutch is always on it. Dutch has a lot of zingers in this episode to me, and we're going to get to them in a second. So let's go to segment number 2. We got Gary Scott versus Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff. Orndorff comes out to the ring. No music. Gary Scott does what a jobber did back then. He basically takes an ass whipping while the heel Paul Orndorff gets a shitload of cheers. I mean, there's some boos mixed in, but these people are cheering Orndorff. Doc, I think it goes back to the point you made a few weeks ago where Orndorff just had that
big time name from his WWE days, and the fans just know who he is. They like him. You know, Scott does get some offense once he's on a schoolboy at the beginning and again on a cross body. However, most of the time, the kid is selling his ass off for Orndorff. At one point, the young man takes a great back body drop from Orndorff where he got a ton of air. I really like that spot. Thoughts on the match, Doc, and then we'll throw it to Harper before we move forward.
I looked up some Gary Scott. He apparently did some jobs in the WWF in 1995, so I don't know if this was the beginning of his career or not, but he certainly understood. If it was, he understood the role, which was you're going to go out there and take an ass-whooping and keep Paul Orndorff hot. They said something about him not being the champ, but technically wasn't Paul Orndorff the champ for like 10 seconds at the Volunteer Slam before Bob Armstrong stuck his nose in it?
Yeah, he was. Like, and that was the thing. Before I forget, did you hear when Dutch was rattling off all the names Orndorff had beaten, like Flair and Hogan in the past, and then Dutch says during the match, you know, he even beat Primetime Brian Lee at the Slam. Bob Cottle can't contain his laughter, and he's laughing and saying, don't put me on the spot like that. You know I can't agree with you. We talked a few episodes back about these guys trying to pop each other. Dutch is winning the war on this because Cottle could not keep a straight face. And I say that because to answer your question, yeah, he kind of did win the title for a second when Bullet Bob awarded it to him. But, you know, it is what it is. I guess he technically wasn't champ. But anyway, I don't know, Harper, besides the jobber in this match, what did you think about it?
You know what I love was when he threw him into the guardrail.
And he sold his ass off?
Yeah, man. Looked like he fucking really threw him into it.
Not only that, but you don't have a guardrail anymore. Like, if you watch WWE, you got a fucking padded, you know, arena football fucking skirt around a damn ring.
I think the house show still got the old-fashioned guardrails, huh? And they put those little fake little, like, fucking skirts on them or something.
They might. I don't know. They might. That's what I like about Impact and ROH. They, you know, got the old school barricades, which I don't know. There's something about that I just like the way it looks. I'm sure it's a lot more dangerous for the wrestlers. I mean, I know I have injured my elbow one time going into one, but yeah, it's, you know, that's what makes wrestling so good back then. WWE's got padded shit now, shareholders and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right, Doc and Harper, y'all got anything else before I move to the next segment?
Nah.
All right, so the next segment is we got a Cornette Heavenly Bodies promo. I'll play it here. We'll react to it.
July. Let's go now to Bob Cottle standing by with Jim Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies.
All right, Dutch, and you're right. Here are the Heavenly Bodies and Jim Cornette. And I tell you, the Fantastics are tuned. They're ready. We've seen them. They're laying for you guys.
Let me tell you something. They're not tuned. They're not even wrestlers. What they are is lunatics. Those guys right now should be locked in a padded cell with a ball and chain around their leg. No, those guys should be sitting right now on death row for attempted murder. This isn't wrestling. They attacked us, Bob Cottle, with lead pipes, sticks, stones, boards. They try to kill us. And you know why? I know why they're trying to do this. It's because they're jealous. They know we're the best looking men in professional wrestling. They know all the women want us. They know our phone rings all night. They know we have the gold, and they want to kill us and get us off God's green earth because they're racked and insane with jealousy.
Let me tell you something right now. Don't even bother holding those fingers up, brother, because I'm going to be here for a minute. I'm going to tell you something fantastic. It's coming up at Summer Blast. It's a Smoky Mountain street fight. You know what that means? Just what you already had. Wear anything you want to wear. Bring anything you want to bring. The only rule is there ain't no rules. The baddest man, the toughest guts, is left standing at the end of the thing, and that's the only way to determine a winner. Well, let me tell you something. We may not let it go till Summer Blast because we realize that you're going to do it to us again if you get the opportunity. So it's our job to make sure you don't get the opportunity. So I'm telling you, Fultons, I'm giving you a warning. The next time we see you, Fantastics, you're done. It's over with. It's the end. And you know what I'm saying is true, and so does every stinking person in here. They've never seen a man in this town till these two guys walked in, and they've never seen a single person that told the truth in this town until I came here. Bottom line, Fultons, we're getting you before you get us at Summer Blast.
All right, fans, it's all going to come down at Summer Blast, mid-July. We'll be back. We'll have more action right after we take this time out.
All right, Doc, any thoughts on Wallace Stanfield Lane accusing the Fantastics of trying to commit murder?
Well, they should be on death row. But this
that
is
was,
the go.
That was great, though.
This is the go home show for Summer Blast. So they're putting it all the chips are in. So, you know, Stan Lane is fucking fantastic on this. Cornette's awesome, and they're doing something we talk about all the time. They're trying to talk these sons of bitches into the building. Now, what I wanted to know listening to that was Corny said it's a Smoky Mountain street fight. So what does that mean? They get out there and throw a couple of punches and then cough up some black lung on each other and get winded because the coal mines have made their lungs turn into Swiss cheese?
There you go, insulting the good people of Smoky Mountain again. You're just trying to be like Dutch Mantell. I don't know, man. It's just a street fight. It's tape fist. Come out there. Come as you are. I mean, it's basically the rules of I don't say the rules of a cage match because there's nothing in a cage unless you have props in there already, but it's a street fight. Anything goes. False count anywhere.
I gotta think after that brawl a couple of weeks ago, we're in for a big one at the Summer Blast, though.
I do, too.
Is that episode 25?
Well, here's the thing, and this is going to be a little bit of a spoiler in a way. They don't really describe what happens at Summer Blast well in the upcoming episodes. They kind of transition a little bit on the slick to Fire on the Mountain. Like, they kind of address it in a few episodes, but it's not like they don't address it like real, real good.
We don't see it?
You do, but you see clips of it. And the reason being, here's the thing, though. You won't be disappointed, because when they get the Fire on the Mountain, that shit pops off, and it's I think it's fine, especially given the cage nature of the match that is coming.
I was thinking, fuck, you know, the next one I click on, it's on.
No. I mean, they do. It's weird, Doc. Remember when we talked about this a little bit on like the last episode or one before that? How it gets a little bit confusing.
Yeah, but we gotta let Harper get used to the fact that it ain't 2017; it's 1992, and you don't just get everything online back then or it's just sometimes you don't get to see shit on Territory Wrestling.
That's bullshit.
That's true, though. You don't get to see everything, so. I don't know.
If you want to see everything, you got to go cash that disability check and buy a ticket.
That's a really good point back then. Harper, what did you think about the promo? Anything before we move on?
I thought it was cool. I like how when he addressed the freaking camera guy, throwing the fingers at him.
Cornette was like, you can hold however many fingers you want. I own this motherfucker. I'm about to keep rolling. He fucking threw the rules out the window. He's like, what the fuck ever? Hold him up. He gave us a shot behind the scenes of it all, even though the live audience obviously could see it. So that's pretty good. All right, we go to a Tim Horner promo, Doc's favorite person. Let me cue this motherfucker up in. And the thing is, I'll have to play the initial part, and then I'll have to fast forward and clip out the part where they're recapping the match, and then we'll hear the rest of it. So hold on one second.
Fans here with me right now, White Lightning, Tim Horner. Tim, Nature Boy Buddy Landell says you cost him the championship last week right here on Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
That's right. Well, let's just go see the VTR of this.
All right, fans, let's go back and take a look at just what Buddy Landell's talking about. Buddy Tim.
Is that not beautiful, Bob? Oh, looks like Buddy Landell, you're getting a taste of your own medicine. How does it taste, Bud? He said I cost him the title. That's right, I did cost you the title, Buddy Landell. For several weeks now, you've been on me. You've been up in my face. You caused me a lot of grief. Well, I decided I'm going to fight fire with fire, Buddy Landell. I'm going to be in your face. From now on, when you get up in the morning, you're going to think about me. When you go to bed at night, you're going to think about me. And when it's all over, he's still going to think about me, because Buddy Landell, I'm going to be on you like a wet T-shirt from now on. Every time you get up, when you go to bed, like I said, you're going to think about me. So, Buddy Landell, how does it taste? Sweet.
All right, fans, that's from Tim Horner, White Lightning himself. We're about ready now with action again. Let's go to the ring.
Harper, I'll let you go first this time.
He's so fucking monotoned. I can't tell if he's pissed off or happy.
This dude is a riot, but Doc, your thoughts. Weigh in.
He keeps saying, how did it taste? And my note was, probably not like the dick cheese you got off that check that Landell shoved down your throat, but whatever.
Landell did shove some dick cheese down his throat, boy. That is true.
Seriously, though, let me ask you two, wrestler or something. If you're laying there in the ring and you're doing a good enough job for somebody and you're doing the whole pin me, pay me, and this motherfucker takes something out from his sweaty shorts, been riding up next to his dick and shoves it in your mouth, when y'all get back to the back, what's going to happen?
No, no, man. I mean, because you're out there and you're putting on a show. I mean, there's a lot of shit that goes on that, you know probably isn't kosher to you and that you don't really like. But I mean, if it's putting asses in the seats and entertaining the fans and it's making it more believable, that's a beautiful thing. I mean, you know, you just said
you'd suck a dick if the money was right.
I wouldn't
that's
be happy.
Nice.
Yeah, that's real nice of you. I wouldn't be happy if you took a fucking ball soaked check and stuffed it in my mouth. But at the same time,
his balls were in 1992.
Jesus Christ, you ain't lying. Where the fuck Buddy was putting his fucking nutsack at that point? But I mean, I honestly might have fucking rolled out the ring and not even let him put a fucking sweat balls check in my throat anyway. So I don't. I mean, it's hard to say what you would and wouldn't do. I wouldn't go in the back and start shit with him over it unless it was just something real malicious. I mean, unless you just took liberties and at that point, you know, it turns into a shoot fight in the middle of the ring. But anyway, yeah, I don't think nothing of it. I mean, whatever. I think the story more here is, you know, this motherfucker. I like the fact that, you know, he didn't back down from cheating, you know what I'm saying? Like, he basically owned it. Yeah, I kind of cheated. And he's saying honest, and he said, fuck it. But I don't know, there's something about that whole wet T-shirt comment. I'm going to be on you like a wet T-shirt. Oh, it's just, I mean, I guess I'm judging that by 1990 standards. Maybe it was funny back then, but for now, I'm like, yeah, whatever. I don't know. It's Horner.
I'm going to be on you like a wet T-shirt.
It's not, wet. You know... Wet, right. It's not the worst Tim Horner promo, but it ain't. It's Horner. What do you expect at this point?
Whatever happened to him?
That's a good question. I know he's still alive, but
he gets fired from Smoky Mountain, and him and Cornette had a falling out, and then he did some. I did some reading on Tim last night. Actually, this is timely. He did some jobs in the WWE, I believe, but he also became a producer and agent for SmackDown all the way up to like 2006.
Oh, really? Fuck.
No shit. I had no idea about that. Wow. Okay.
All right.
That's something. My apologies, Tim Horner. I mean, maybe we shouldn't be so hard on you. Tim, if you're listening, remember, we're just having fun, man. Just having fun. We got to talk about something, bro.
Where's your lightning bolts? You still selling them?
Right. Let's go to the next match. We got Joe Kazana and Tim Horner. I believe it was episode 2 that Tim Horner and Kazana wrestled. I keep forgetting, but that may have been the first natural bridge that we saw. Maybe or maybe not, but I know it was one of the first. The match begins. Dutch says, fuck this. I need to get my shit in. Now, he didn't really say fuck this, but he did basically say he needed to get his shit in. He tells Bob Cottle, ask me what I thought of what Horner had to say. Dutch says, I don't think Horner was too convincing in his promo. He doesn't say why, but that Horner was basically too convincing. It wasn't too convincing. He also adds that, remember, Down and Dirty with Dutch will feature Buddy Landell, and we'll get the other side of the story that Horner just stated, insinuating we'll get the truth. We always talk about Horner's promos, but I want to repeat, I think Horner's good in the ring. I don't have anything against what he was back then, 1992. He does a good job. Particularly, there's a sequence in this match where Horner hip tosses and arm drives Kazana. Kazana then shoots Horner off, drops down, gets up slowly, turns around, and what do you know, Horner is there to outsmart him with another arm drag. It was a nice little sequence. At the end of the match, that ends with Horner. And then we go to the end of the match. Horner then gets the natural bridge, which I still don't know if I like it. Doc, before I say what happens next, you got any thoughts on the match?
None. I want to talk about what happens next.
All right, Harper, you do too, so let's get to it. As soon as Horner wins, Buddy Landell is there to lay some leather to him as he chokes Horner and then proceeds to whip the fuck out of him. And that was real in my eyes. Buddy didn't like Horner, and he's whooping that ass. Cottle goes to commercial yelling, "We need to get order restored." On another note,
we got
to
get out of here.
Right, we got to get out of here. The old territory comments when shit was breaking down, hitting the fan. On another note, Dutch Mantel is popping Bob Cottle the entire match. He is talking about how he doesn't know why the people in Smoky Mountain won't just leave the area. He says the only reason the people live in Smoky Mountain is because they can't find their way out. They can't even read a Rand McNally map. Bob Cottle pops and laughs.
You know the real reason they don't leave the Smoky Mountains, right?
What's that?
It's the same reason all the people in New Orleans don't evacuate for hurricanes.
I'm not finding this amusing.
I'm not being funny. It's not everybody. They're poor. You can't just pick up and go somewhere. Going someplace costs money.
I'm glad your Skype connection just cut out, by the way. We didn't quite catch all that. But anyway, so the Rand McNally comment was funny. But, Doc, I got a feeling you want to talk. You and Harper want to talk about Horner getting the strap laid to him at the end of the match.
We've been talking. We talked a couple of months back about gimmick matches and you know, the strap was in ours. And there ain't no way to gimmick that strap. And we know from a recent Jim Cornette podcast that Landale and Horner didn't like each other personally. So when you said that he was laying in the strap, it looked like he was laying in the strap. And my notes were, that strap looks like it's no joke.
You can hear it. I mean, he's fucking cracking him, yeah, man. It's like a whip cracking on his back. Cack. I mean, it's that nasty when you were fucking, you know, because we're kids that grew up when your parents could beat the fuck out of you and not go to jail. It's that nasty fucking your mom or dad, depending on who did the whooping. For me, it was my mom. They fucking laid it in and they didn't give two shits about you calling child support. I mean, not child support, child protection services. You call those sons of bitches. I whip their ass too, is what my mom used to say. Well, he's fucking laying that strap in to Tim Horner's back, and it's beautiful. And it's believable, because that's what makes wrestling great. Anyway, I don't know, Harper, you got any thoughts before we move on?
I love the crowd reaction.
Yeah.
When they show the crowd.
You mean that there actually was one?
Yeah. Well, they got this the camera goes to some freaking redneck asshole that's got his mouth freaking wide open, like, oh, God, holy shit.
Right. He's like, damn. I know exactly which guy you're talking about, too. His mouth is open like he's seeing a murder.
And every time I see the fucking golden boy, I think of Adrian Adonis.
He does look like Adonis in WWE, WWF at that time. Well, not right at that time, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does look a little like Adonis. It's the first time I've heard that, but it is true. All right. So we got a Doc, you got anything else before we move to the next segment?
No, sir.
I was going to play this promo, but I'm getting to the point where I don't know if I want to play these spot show promos. You know what I'm saying, Doc?
Unless they're,
like, real good. Because these promos that they're playing, they're basically just trying to talk to people into the building, which is good. I'm not minimizing it. However, it's just it doesn't really go along with the storyline. So we'll talk about them, but I don't know if we'll play them much here. So we got Phil Rainey. He's with the Dirty White Boy, and then the Heavenly Bodies and Cornette come in. They're promoting the Benton, Tennessee upcoming show. It's Dirty White Boy with a quick promo on how he's going to beat Primetime Brian Lee at Benton for the Smoky Mountain title. And then we got Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies that come in, and they talk about how they're going to win a four-way tag match in Benton to retain their titles. Dr. Tom does have a nice one here where he talks about the Snaggletooth women in Benton and that they'll win this match and the $5,000 that's on the line doing it. Harper, you got any thoughts? I'll throw it to you first.
Not really. I mean, it's...
Doc, what you think, man? You had any thoughts on this promo?
I got a couple of things here. One is, I love Smoky Mountain, but there's never a reason to have a four-way tag match. Too much shit.
I agree. I don't like that. Fuck that. I don't like three-way...
I don't like triple threat matches.
I didn't like three-way matches. I didn't like four-way, three-way tag, whatever.
Six-man tag is pushing it, and you better have, you know...
Yeah, a fucking four-man tag? Fuck.
Yeah.
It's basically get your shit in, tag out.
Yeah, and it's too much to... God, especially the way wrestling's booked nowadays, where it's basically fucking spot by spot. That shit's too much to fucking remember. Fuck that. I don't know. So, I agree. I'm not a big fan of the four-way tag match.
I put in my notes, I've never been to Benton, Tennessee, but I bet they really are Snaggletooth there.
That's real nice.
And I've got a new drinking game.
Oh, Oh, shit.
Every time they say the fucking name of the city.
No, but that's not a bad one either. So here's the thing. If you're watching a Heavenly Bodies promo, take a shot every time Dr. Tom Pritchard plus his hair.
Yeah.
Plus his hair. And let me fast forward to the outcome of this. You're going to die of alcohol poisoning.
You probably could pass out within the first 60 seconds.
He's sitting there bouncing, and which is fine. I mean, that's the thing. But he fluffs his hair almost constantly, and once you clue in on that, you start noticing, and you can't unsee it. Love Dr. Tom, though. He's awesome. But
I think it's awesome. I really like it. Let's go to the next segment.
Again, we got to talk about something.
Yeah, we do. So we got in the next segment, it's Bullet Bob and Bob Cottle. They show a recap of Jimmy Golden and Robert Gibson in Knoxville. Jimmy Golden wins that match. I'm 100% sure. Well, I'm not 100%. It's a house show that they're on. Jimmy Golden uses a foreign object that the ref doesn't see. Golden gets the win, and the fans are hot about it. Let me play this promo that then comes
this. Before you do, did you notice how fucking dark it was in that ring?
Yeah, man. That shit, yeah.
Yeah, it was like a volunteer slam.
They went to the I think it was darker because they had the camera down low. And when they went to the other side of the ring, I was like, man, I can't make out who that is over there. It's fucking dark. Anyway, go ahead.
It was like the volunteer slam. Harper, you were saying it was dark too, though, right?
Yes.
All right, let's go to the promo now.
Robert Gibson, I have told you over and over, boy, that you wasn't no match for Jimmy Golden. You don't listen too good, do you, son? I'm going to tell you something. I've knocked you out once. I can knock you out again. The people in Smoky Mountain Wrestling has accused me of using a chain to knock you out. I have never had a chain in all my life. And now they want to take me out there before the match and have to make me let some of the wrestling fans there, some of them hillbillies, stinking, rotten, slimy fans come out there and put their hands on me and search me for a chain. I ain't never used no chain. I don't need no chain to beat you, Robert Gibson. I'll beat you again. I'm going to knock you out one more time. I hope you show up.
All right, Doc, it's one of our favorites, Jimmy Golden, man. Go ahead and weigh in on your thoughts on the promo.
Boy, if you just knew Jimmy Golden, and I say this every week, if you just knew him as Bunkhouse Buck, wow, he's awesome. Did you catch that he said, I never had a chain in all my life, as he's dangling the fucking chain?
Yeah, that's what makes it great.
Awesome.
That's what heels do. That's what heels did back then. They know they got caught red-handed, and they denied it like there's not a camera on them, and that's what made it awesome, and that's what makes
and half
great.
And half the hillbillies watching were like, you know, he said he didn't have a chain. I guess I gotta believe him.
No, I think the hillbillies are like, you lying sack of shit. Look at it. It's right there.
That's the other half. Now, I don't want to give away any spoilers, but let me just say that this little brouhaha between Golden and Gibson that's been going on now for a couple of months is going to lead somewhere real good and real soon. So.
Yeah, it does. It does. It's got a long payoff to it. No spoiler, but it does lead to some good shit. Harper, would you you had anything before we move on?
Wasn't he managed in the beginning?
Jimmy Golden?
Yeah. Didn't he come out with
No. He wasn't. No, he was with the Koloffs in the very beginning of Smoky Mountain.
Okay.
And they both got pregnant at the same time.
Yeah, yeah, that was a great fucking line, if you remember. That was back in, like, episode 4 or 5. Both their wives were pregnant at the same time. Ivan and Vladimir, they couldn't show up for the match. So that's one of the classic moments from Smoky Mountain Wrestling. All right, we'll move forward now. I got Rick Cannon versus Robert Gibson. The rock and roll music hits, and boy, do the people go crazy. We talked about the music, so we won't really harp on it on this episode from Booking the Territory a few weeks back about his music. But say what you want about this being Gibson being past his prime in the NWA, but these fans still love him in the Smoky Mountain. Dutch and Bob start their banter as Bob Cottle says he's a 4-5-time NWA world champion. Dutch says, wait, Bob Cottle, it's either 4 or 5. It can't be both. Cottle agrees and just basically moves on. Then Dutch starts talking about Jimmy Golden being screwed because it's not right that Jimmy Golden is allowed to be searched by fans before the match. Dutch fucking lit me on fire, and I pop big time when Dutch says, it's a public health department, or the public health department should step in and not allow because the germs that will be spread as the fans are searching Jimmy Golden. Doc, you want me to stop here before I tell you what happens in the rest of the match?
Well, I just pointed out here that in my notes that Dutch has got it turned to 11 for this episode. He's really digging in on Cottle and Horner and the previous match and everybody. I did a little looking on Rick Cannon. I didn't find much. I did note that when we first see Rick Cannon, he kind of looks like Kenny Powers.
He looks like fucking white trash, pure white trash. with that jean jacket on. What the fuck comes in the ring wearing that shit?
So Mike, do you know who Kenny Powers is?
No, I don't.
From,
but I can't get past Harper's comments just now. The thoughts shared by Hardbody Harper right now are Hardbody Harper's thoughts alone. Go ahead. No, I'm just fucking with you. I don't know who Kenny Powers is, dude.
Kenny Powers is the character in Eastbound and Down on HBO where he's got a big long mullet and he's a former relief pitcher who lost his stuff and he's a foul-mouthed piece of shit. It's awesome. You should watch it sometime.
Yeah, I'll think about that. Anything that you recommend besides Smoky Mountain Wrestling is not something I'm going to do, though. But anyway, let's get to the end of this match. This thing doesn't last.
I recommend drinking beer and banging bitches. I guess
no,
you don't want
course.
To do that.
You sound like Mullet of Morton now. I don't know who Rick Cannon is, but he takes a terrible bulldog. I will say that much. As Gibson came in.
He bumps too early.
It looked terrible.
Yeah.
It was bad. So anyway, Gibson gets the win. No surprise here. I think everybody gave their thoughts on the match, so we'll move on. So we got next is the, I guess we'll call it still a pretty new segment. We got Down and Dirty with Dutch, and his guest this week is Buddy Landell. Let me play this puppy, and then we will react to it.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Down and Dirty with Dutch. I'm Dutch Mantell, and you're not my special guest, as I have told you several times before he got out here today. The real nature boy, Buddy Landell. And Buddy, I'd like to welcome you to my segment right here. And I want to congratulate you. Tim Horner cost you the title last week right here on Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And I told my cohort back there, Bob Cottle, that you were thinking. And if any man could think, it's you. And I'm glad you got that egg-sucking dog down and you give him a whooping that his mama needed to give him years and years ago.
Well, don't you know that I learned a lot of my stuff from riding up and down the road for you with you for about 10 years. You see, Tim Horner did cost me a title shot, and it did upset me, Dutch, but I'll tell you something. Professional wrestling is a game of strategy. It's mental chess. Yeah, he made me upset for a minute, but I'm thinking to myself, I'm a number one, I'm a top contender. I can get another title shot any day of the week.
What are you gonna do to
for
Tim
a guy like Tim Horner, it comes along once in a lifetime. So what I did was, I just turned the switches on him. I strapped him. I just whooped his butt on TV. I give you the whooping your mama should have given you a long time ago. Baby, you're fooling with some real men right now. We're talking about the Summer Blast. Dutch, let me explain. Hold down. Let me tell you something, Tim Horner. I have beat you up so many times. Yeah, I beat you up so many times.
Oh, hey, buddy, don't leave me. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait a minute. I ain't got nothing to do with it. Wait a minute. Now hold it. Now I ain't got no problem with you. Now wait a minute.
I'm gonna tell you something.
Wait a minute. Let me tell you. I'm glad to see you. I hope you whoop that Buddy Landell like the dog he is. I thought it was awful him coming in the ring and hitting you like that. And I don't like it. That's despicable behavior. I won't tolerate it.
Let me tell you something, Buddy Landell. All you're doing is digging your grave a little deeper. For every whip you put on me, I'm going to put two on you and laugh about it. How do you like that, Buddy Landell? It ain't over. You know what leather's all about. You've got a whip.
Yeah.
You know what it can do.
Yes, I do.
Well, Buddy Landell's going to find out exactly what it can do.
I think you need to take him down and whoop him like the dog he is. He had no right to do that to you. And I told him out here, too. I told him right to his face.
You won't have to
to worry about that because I'll take care of Buddy Landell.
Well, thank you, Tim. There you heard it, fans. Buddy Landell and Tim Horner making an impromptu appearance. Don't go away, fans. We'll be right back right after this commercial break.
All right, Doc, what'd you think, man? That was pretty good stuff right there.
Well, the whole and great segment overall, but the one sentence highlight for me was when Horner hits the ring and Dutch goes, "Buddy, don't leave me." Just, I mean, perfectly played by Dutch as a just a awesome heel. And my first note was, Buddy is just a natural shit talker. You can tell it's just, it's great. Horner, we've said this before, Horner is always gets up to average, and we don't have to shit on it. When he can kind of be in the moment and not have to think about it and cut some his version of fiery promo. So again, he's a lot better in this setting than he is when he comes in on the set and he's going to jip jive and socialize. So awesome segment.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Harper, you had anything?
He reminds me of that's the first time you hear him really yell and try to show emotion, and it's almost like he sounds like a father that's like yelling at his kid like he's trying to sound pissed.
Like he's trying too hard to sound like a mean person.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, I think you know what's funny about the whole segment. I like Buddy, but like to me, Dutch makes that whole segment right there because he fucking flip flops and that heel roll. First off, he says, "Buddy, like you said, Doc, Buddy, don't leave me here with this guy." And then when he realizes Buddy's like, "Fuck this, I'm getting out of town." and he's in the ring. He goes, "Oh yeah, Horner." He's all of a sudden when he realizes Buddy's deserting him. Horner, I agree, man. I hope you whip him like the dog that he is. Like he completely flip flopped on him, like 100%. I'm not in this. I'm not in this. I'm on your side, Horner. And I thought that was a great part of the segment. That actually made the segment that much better. A heel who's a chicken shit. You know, you got a chicken shit heel. They don't do that in wrestling today. It just seems like there's. I've seen Heyman do it a few times, but there's no chicken shit heel anymore. Anyway, that's my thought. Anything else before I move on to the next segment?
No.
All right, we got Paul Lee versus Primetime Brian Lee. Everybody knows who Paul Lee is by now. Job alert, just for everyone to know, it's like a 3-minute match. Paul Lee, you know, he does some more of his Ric Flair bumps with the press slam in the beginning.
Yeah.
Dutch seems to think we've talked about this guy a lot, Harper, in the last few episodes. Dutch seems to think that since both their names are Lee, that Paul Lee is Primetime Brian Lee's illegitimate son.
Yeah. That was that may be the most what-the-fuck moment in 23 episodes, because I did some looking here. Primetime Brian Lee is 24 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
So for him to have a kid that could be in the wrestling ring with him and is probably older than him, what?
That's what makes it great. Dutch even says that they should do a DNA test to make sure.
That shit took like 6 months to get done back in the 90s.
Bro, he says at least, if not longer. Also, Dutch addresses why he was kissing Tim Horner's ass in the Down and Dirty with Dutch segment. He said the segment was interrupted rudely by Horner. Cottle says, "Dutch, you were playing both sides of the fence with Horner and Landell." Dutch says he was going to start wearing Horner out, but he wanted to leave Horner for Buddy to whoop up on Horner, which I thought that was his excuse, and I thought that was great. It was beautiful. So back to the match. Paul Lee does his famous Ric Flair flip over the second turnbuckle in the corner, where he then runs to the top rope in the other corner. He jumps off where Primetime Brian Lee catches him with a power slam. This leads to the cancellation finisher by Primetime Brian Lee. Doc, what are your thoughts on the match, if anything, and any other commentary that I may have missed here?
Just briefly, I thought the cancellation looked a little botched, but whatever.
Yeah. I thought he was going to drop him, and he said, "Fuck it, I'm just going to just put him down."
I agree. I think that's exactly what happened when I'm watching it. Definitely. All right, let's go to the next match. So we got next segment. We got a Primetime Brian Lee promo. Primetime Brian Lee cuts a short promo about being very excited that Ronnie Garvin will be his partner. For those who remember, we've got Ronnie Garvin now in the territory. They throw us to a video recap. They show a sequence of Rick and Garvin working in a cage where Garvin beats Rick in an NWA match where Garvin wins the world title in the cage. It's only a matter of time. Like, I made this note, and I don't know if I want to say it here, because if someone hears this, they'll definitely go pull it, but they're going to pull it. WWE will pull this. That's their footage, basically, off of YouTube. Not that Smoky Mountain isn't their footage, but, God, man, they've got an NWA match in here. The finish
of that
match...
How did they get away with that back then?
Kayfabe, brother.
Harper, we're shocked that these videos are on YouTube at this point, to be honest with you. Because the WWE owns it. It's only a matter of time before WWE... Well, what was I saying? I already said that. The finish of the match, the cage match, was simple and crazy effective. Garvin pounds Rick's face into the cage. Rick then lands on the top rope with a severe nut shot, which I can tell you, that can be rough if you don't land right on that rope, because that is a steel fucking cable with not much padding around it, if any. It's just basically, a lot of times, got a hose around it, like a
My note there was... My note for you guys was, how do you take that without dying?
You gotta make sure that you actually come down on
the leg.
The leg. It's very hard to do. Let me just say it. You don't fucking land that right, you're gonna be squealing like a bitch. So anyway, the nut shot happens. Garvin comes off the top rope then with a sunset flip where he basically nails Rick perfect and becomes the NWA World Champion. The crowd goes nuts. They also replay the promo with Ron Garvin cutting a promo where he's going to help out Primetime Brian Lee against Orndorff and the Dirty White Boy. Cottle and Primetime Brian Lee are back from the video package, and Primetime Brian Lee cuts a great promo for my liking. He is believable and aggressive and on point with how, you know, him and Garvin are going to whip some ass at Summer Blast. I'm not going to play it because it's really short, but I thought it was very effective. Doc, did you feel the same way?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. What about you, Harper? Was that a... Because some of Primetime's Brian Lee promos are kind of not on the, you know,
yeah,
strong side. I thought it was strong. All right. So then we go to a promo with the Dirty White Boy and Orndorff, and this is some more magic. So we're
hold on. I had a question.
Yeah. Any day now, here. Motherfucker.
Shut up. Primetime Brian Lee was good, but he says something where he's beating on you, and it will be songs to dance. Did you catch that? Like, he kind of mumbled something at the end. It was like, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, but I didn't think much of it.
I wanted to just point out that when you watch a clip of Ric Flair, and like Mike said, you better get there in a hurry because it may be down. But I think people forget, because he's turned into sort of a cartoon character in the last few years, how great Rick was in the 80s. And I think that little clip was more proof.
Rick was... Look, I make fun of Rick. Rick's a fucking drunk now. He's... I don't know if...
Now?
I don't know if he... Well, I don't... I wonder if, like, all of Rick's years of drinking somehow affected his brain. Because he's just, like... You listen to him and... He says some of the strangest stuff. He's just scrambled eggs a lot of time. I mean, he got worked by Conor McGregor. Rick, you're the greatest worker of them all time on the mic. Why are you getting worked by an MMA guy? It's like he can't recognize that McGregor was working. But that's neither here nor there. I agree with your point, Doc. Rick was the NWA World Champ for a reason, because he could make fucking people look great. I mean, there's no shot on. This is no shot on Ronnie Garvin, but he's not one of the greatest talents from that era. But you watch that match, and fucking people went nuts when he won the world title. They went crazy. And
that's because that shit meant something.
It did. All right, so let's go to the promo. We got Dirty White Boy, Orndorff, and let me cue this motherfucker up and play it.
Well, fans, we heard from Primetime Brian Lee, and of course some folks that really disagree with that. Here's Mr. Ron Wright, the Dirty White Boy, Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff.
Let me tell you, I've never been so worried and tore up over anything in my life after seeing what Ronnie Garvin done to the NWA Heavyweight That's Champion. Right. I'm telling you, it's unbelievable, and they've got me worried. I'm afraid maybe these men don't really know how dangerous that man is. I'm going to have to have
a feel, Ron. You know something? You just saw Ron Garvin beat Ric Flair. Well, let me tell you something. I've beaten Ric Flair. The Dirty White Boy has beaten Flair. And anybody with a pair of wrestling trunks beaten Ric Flair. And just to let you know, though, this first dirty white boy, me and him really don't want to be partners. But the fact of the matter is, Brian Lee will not wrestle us by ourselves because he knows he's been doing everything under the sun to keep that belt.
You know what it is, Paul?
Tell me, baby.
The man is just scared. Primetime Brian Lee, you are a scared man. You're scared of this man, and you're scared of me, so you got to run out and get somebody by the name of Ronnie Garvin. Well, Ronnie Garvin, you take a good look at this big man right here, and you bring your hands of stone because I'm taking you out, and then we're taking care of Brian Lee, and that's a fact.
Ronnie who?
All right, fans, Summer Blast, that's going to be it. And by the way...
All right, Doc, Harper, I'll throw it to you first, man. You're just starting to get into this and have kind of binge-watched to get to this episode so you could join us. Did you enjoy seeing Ron Wright, you know, take a nitroglycerin tablet for his heart so that chest pain would go away?
Bro, I'm still waiting. I'm waiting to see him pull out the fucking Nazi flag. When's that?
Well, no, that's not Smoky Mountain. Unless Doc.
No, that's not Smoky Mountain. Fuck.
No, that's USA. But hang tight. We will have a Nazi.
We'll have some Nazi imagery for you in the coming week. So don't settle down.
Yeah, settle down. But Doc, your thoughts on the promo?
Well, Paul Orndorff has lost his ever loving fucking mind, saying that Dirty White Boy has beat Ric Flair and that anyone with a pair of trunks has beaten Ric Flair. Paul Orndorff needs to get the fuck out of here with that shit. And then my other note was, I'm worried about Ron Wright. I hope he makes it.
I know, huh?
I'm ready to send a check in to that address.
No, we're not sending checks in the address into addresses. So sorry, I don't know what to say at this point about that. But I do want to know. I do want to know from Cornette if someone did send in checks to that address for Mr. Ron Wright, because I got a feeling there's somebody out there who did do that.
Oh yeah, bro, you know damn well there's some fucking redneck assholes back then. But send that poor old man a check.
All right, Doc, I was about to cut you off, man. What were you about to say?
I just was ready to switch it over to the hot piece of ass segment of the show.
Jesus, let's go to it. So, so we go to it. If you heard at the end of that, like Bob Cottle throws us to a segment where, I guess, Smoky Mountain superfan Beulah Bush is getting an award, and we're in the ring at a Beulah Bush. How fitting. No disrespect to this woman. I don't know.
She's about to get disrespected for the next 3 to 5 minutes.
Beulah, we know you're a Smoky Mountain wrestling fan. If you're still living, God bless you, because
she ain't still living, bro. That was 25 years ago.
No, that's a shame, man. That's somebody's mom and grandmother. Don't take a shit on her like that. But Bullet Bob presents an award to who I say believe, but I'm almost 100% certain is the old lady we poked fun at in some of the earlier episodes of Smoky Mountain.
Yeah, she's got the red shirt on.
Yeah. She gets a lifetime Smoky Mountain wrestling pass to events. Bullet Bob says her nickname is Bouncing Beulah, which, Jesus Christ, the connotation between Beulah Bush and Bouncing Beulah have me at an all-time high of fuck myself. I'm just like, oh shit, this had to be a rib.
You know what I got? I wrote down, Beulah's a rat.
Christ, it's not. This is terrible. Beulah has a few great words as she says, Smoky Mountain is wrestling the way it used to be and the way she likes it, which we 100% agree. Doc, I'm really scared to throw it over to you for further analysis of this segment. I'll let you chime in, but go ahead.
I have a question.
Sure.
50 years ago, do you think Luthez stretched her, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, probably, and we'll leave it at that. But go ahead, continue.
That's all. She's Bouncing Beulah Bush, and she's a rat, and lifetime pass, and if Corny ever hears this, he'd probably get offended and never come on our show.
Harper, what are your thoughts while I find that
know,
promo from
if
the
she
next
died, season? Does the lifetime pass...
Can she pass that on to a family?
Is it transferable unless...
That's what I want to know.
Well, Can she bequeath that shit to somebody?
It can't. Whatever, dude. It can't be right. Never mind. I was going to... No, you can't. Smoky Mountain's dead at this point. It's obviously not.
And so is she.
That's just wrong. Beulah, God bless you. Rest in peace if you're gone. If anybody's listening to this, because there's a lot of people from that area that listen to this show. I mean, a lot. I get tons of feedback and email and on Twitter. If you're listening to this, can you tell us if Beulah is still alive? I'm actually quite curious. All right, let's go to the next segment. We got a Bullet Bob promo. I think I've got it queued up.
All right, fans, with me right now is Smoky Mountain Commissioner Bob Armstrong. Bob, what about Summer Blast?
Well, it looks like Summer Blast is going to set a lot of rivalries around here in the Smoky Mountain area. First off, we have the Fantastics versus the Heavenly Bodies for the titles in a Smoky Mountain street fight. Then we have Primetime Brian Lee and Ronnie Garvin taking on the White Boy and Paul Orndorff. Then Tim Horner takes on Buddy Landell in a special strap match. Now, brother, this should settle a lot of feuds around here. And a lot of people are breaking the rules and spending money. I know we're getting rich in fines here, but as long as they break the rules, they're going to pay the money, and I'm going to see to it.
All right, and it's payback time, I think, for the Heavenly Bodies, right, Jackie?
That's right, Heavenly Bodies. You came out here earlier, and you said how you're looking for the Fantastics. Well, let me tell you one thing. We're right here right now, so come on out right now. We don't care. You've done a lot of things. You tried to take me out. You tried to end my career. You hurt my knee. You did things to Bobby. We fought you up and down that hallway because we just needed to get a piece of you. Let me tell you one thing, Cornette and Heavenly Bodies. You're not looking for us. We're looking for you.
That's right. You know, I want to tell you something, Bob. If they're waiting for us, they're backing up. And let me tell you this, Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies. You took $3,000 of our money because, Cornette, you provoked that when you interfered in that match for the disqualification. We are coming back, you know. Stan is crying about his eardrum being busted. We're going to bust more than that when it's all over. We're looking forward to that Smoky Mountain street fight at Summer Blast.
All right, fans, we'll have more. We'll be back.
Well, Doc, the doctor well, of the bunch.
I'm going to go to the end here, and I don't want to give away too much because I want it to be fun in a little bit. This is our first reference to Stan Lane's eardrum, so I just want to say more to come on that. Let's leave that for the next episode because it gets ridiculous. I thought at the beginning I was like, kayfabe, Bob, because Bob, like, we're getting rich off all these fines. I'm like, man, you don't have to go tell everybody that shit.
You add that shit up, though, man. He's getting filthy rich on these fines.
Right, and
I mean,
think about it.
He's got between the Fantastics right now being fined $3,000 because it's $1,500 apiece, and then the Heavenly Bodies they're fined $1,500 each, and there's three of them, so that's $4,500. This motherfucker's got $7,500 in 1992 in just fine money. The NFL wasn't levying out fines that fucking high at that point. I mean,
they got
shit.
Enough money. They got enough money to have the Christmas party at the Sizzler this year.
Yeah, fuck.
So
anyway,
the last thing is we've been kind of poking at this for a while, but I'm just gonna go ahead and say it. We've all agreed that Bobby Fulton is a hell. He's got fiery, you know. He's Bobby Fulton, but Jackie Fulton's underrated.
I told you fucking gimmick infringing motherfucker. I told you that at the BTT Christmas party that he was underrated. And now you want to steal my thunder, but go ahead. I just had to make that point.
What were you waiting on to say?
Go ahead. I'm the one that told you that he was underrated. But go ahead. Make your point.
He's underrated.
Okay.
That's my point.
That's it. Yeah. Again, stealing my shit. Harper, you got anything from that segment?
No. I just can't wait for the fucking match, man. And I won't fucking see it.
No.
It's like we told this motherfucker Santa Claus ain't real.
He's upset about the match.
Bro.
All right.
I watched this shit like 3 or 4 times. I'm like, I can't wait for this shit. Episode 25, here we come. Wrong.
They're fucking Harper in the building.
I said earlier today I would not play some of these promos that are like house show promos or promoting, you know, the house show matches. But I got to play this one because it's Tim Horner coming up in this next segment, and they're promoting the Benton, Tennessee card again. And I have to play it for two reasons, and then we'll talk about it after it's played. So hold on 1 second. We'll cue it up.
Wrestling fans, Smoky Mountain Wrestling comes to Benton, Tennessee, Polk County High School on July the 6th, bell time 7 p.m., and all seats are only $5. We have a four-team elimination match for $5,000 featuring the Fantastics, the Heavenly Bodies, Danny Davis and Dixie Dynamite, and Buddy Landell and Jimmy Golden. And in a Smoky Mountain title match, it'll be the Dirty White Boy meeting Brian Lee, plus Robert Gibson, Tim Horner, Paul Orndorff, and all the top stars of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Now let's hear from Tim Horner. Tim?
You know, I can't wait to get to Benton, Tennessee. All the top stars in Smoky Mountain Wrestling are going to be there. And I want all my little Lightning Bolt buddies to come on out and cheer White Lightning on, because I'm going to be zigging and zagging and striking all over Benton. Now, I heard you say that Nature Boy Buddy Landell was going to be in a four-team elimination match.
Right.
For $5,000. That's a lot of money. Buddy Landell, you cost me $5,000, and if I have anything to do about it, you won't win this $5,000 because you got some debts to pay, and you're going to pay the debtor.
Prime time, Brian Lee, the champion.
You know, white boy, that's exactly right. Champion, and you can call me champion all day long, and I'm going to stay champion because this is the way I pay my bills. This is the way I feed my family. And I tell you what, white boy, you come out here and talk about how easy it was to win this belt. Well, it was no picnic. And I can tell you one thing. I've never been to Benton, Tennessee, but I'm looking forward to coming down there. I've talked to my friends Tim, Gibson, fantastic. They all talk about how good-looking the women are. I guarantee you one thing. One thing's not going to be good looking, and that's you, white boy, when I get through with you in Benton, Tennessee. This title's on the line, and your life's on the line. And I'll tell you one thing. It's me or you, and I'm going to come out on top. So, Benton, Tennessee, get ready. Smoky Mountain Wrestling's coming to you, and that's exactly what we're going to be doing is smoking when we come to Benton, Tennessee. White boy, stand up here, run your mouth, talk what you want to talk, say what you're going to do, but when it's all on the line in Benton, Tennessee, you're going to have to show me, because talk's cheap. I want action, and that's exactly what it's going to be.
Well, Harper, go ahead and chime in. Tell me what you thought about that promo, because I do have some clear thoughts on it. Let me just say that.
I want to be a little lightning buddy. How do I do that?
Get you a foam bolt. I bet you can get one of those stupid foam bolts off of Amazon or Craigslist or
you can.
What am I looking for? eBay. eBay probably has a foam bolt you can buy. Jesus Christ.
I already looked it up, man.
I bet you did. I bet you did. Doc, go ahead. I know what you're going to say. I already know.
Man, I bet there was a post-show orgy in Benton, Tennessee, because Primetime Brian Lee just told you that all rats matter and that he had already got word from the other boys that the women were good-looking, and when they got there, they were going to be smoking. I think he told you everything you needed to know about what happened after the show.
Bro, he fucking I pop. First off, Horner cuts the promo with the foam bowl. It wasn't memorable, and that was my fault. It's not memorable. He's got his little lightning buddies. What the fuck ever. But Primetime Brian Lee cuts a nice one, and he says he's never been to Benton, but he's been talking to all his friends, Tim, Robert Gibson, and God, we know the brats that him and Ricky Morton banged back in the day, and they've told him how great the women are in Benton. Now, I want y'all to think back to the promo of the week that we played a couple of weeks back on Booking the Territory, our Thursday show, when James Mitchell was telling the story of Primetime Brian Lee and his ring rats. So, you know what was going on after those matches in Benton. Primetime Brian Lee had some rats doing some servicing, and he was doing some servicing himself. So, that's all I got. That was why I played it more than anything, because of his comment about the women. And it's funny how this is. I mean, basically, it was code word for, hey, ring rats, we're coming. We're going to have some fun.
Coming.
Literally.
With good makeup on.
This is awesome. Okay, let's go to the next thing. We got the Batten Twins versus Dixie Dynamite and Nitro Danny Davis. I'm going to go through this quickly. First off, I hated good guy versus good guy matches back in the day. It just didn't make for good wrestling to me when you got two clean-cut babyface teams or two babyfaces up against each other. Doc, I have a question for you because you're a music person. Who's that on Danny Davis's ring music with that TNT song?
That's AC/DC.
Jesus fuck. It's AC/DC.
I don't listen.
It's only one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all times. You are a musical moron.
No, I grew up in the fucking ghetto in New Orleans. Nobody was fucking playing rock and roll back then.
I know who Master fucking P is. How can you not know who AC/DC
is? It's because you're a white fucking privileged mark.
How does that...
Now, I know, I have heard...
Just own up to your ignorance. Just own up to it.
I have heard of AC/DC. However, I'm asking because I don't know. Would you like me to act like you and, when I don't know something, pretend? No, I don't know.
There's nothing I don't know. So there's nothing I don't know. It just is it is offensive to me, and I guarantee you it's offensive to the good people in the BTT Army that you don't know who AC/DC is on site and by hearing it.
Go fuck yourself as I move forward.
Let's put this to a vote out there on the Twitter. who's right here, me or you? And I guarantee you our people, unless they're trying to work and go, Doug's a heel, will say that it's shameful that you don't know who AC/DC is.
You know what I didn't get about this match?
Thanks, Harper. I appreciate you changing the topic from old asshole over here.
What's that? When they start going at it in a ring afterwards, you see, I think it's the fucking Golden Boy and someone else comes out. And they're fighting the Batten Twins and Dixie Dynamite and fucking Danny Davis outside the ring. And they never explain why.
You sure about that?
Dude, I'm telling you, watch it again.
Okay, I have to look at it. I got my notes, but I don't have that in there, so...
Yeah, and okay. they're fighting with them outside the ring, and... Because I watched it like two or three times, and last night, I was like, what the hell is that? And they're fighting...
Harper's finding Easter eggs in Smoky Mountain.
Yeah, well, you and they're fighting outside the ring. I'm like, what the fuck's that about?
Yeah, I'll have to look back, because I don't remember that.
And the Batten Twins look just like... The guy from fucking Tremors, bro. Do you remember fucking Kevin Bacon's buddy?
I don't remember, but I got a feeling this is supposed to be a funny reference. That's why I'm laughing.
I'm telling you, they look just like the guy from fucking Tremors.
All right, let me get back to the match. God. So, first off, Dutch is on it, as you said earlier, Doc, in this episode. Dutch shits all over this match. I mean, a big, meaty, hairy pile of shit. When he starts and he says...
This shit's so big it's got a spinal cord.
Right. Or as Denim Fritz on Twitter, at DenimFritz605, says, it needs its own college fund. That's how big this fucking shit is. Dutch shits all over the match at the start, and he says... It's like watching grass grow or watching a fishing show on television. Yeah. And then he says, Dutch thinks people in jail should be given a choice between watching this and taking a cyanide pill. He feels like this match is so bad that people would take the cyanide pill to put themselves out of their misery. I'm going to stop here and allow Doc to give his commentary on this part.
Well, you already said it, so there's no point in going back. I mean, face versus face tag teams. Okay.
Yeah, it's a lot of chaining.
It's not... Unless you just had two guys or two teams that were just that over and they could pull it off, I guess... Like, I feel like the Iron Man match between Shawn and Bret was face versus face back in the day, and... They were such big stars, it worked. If I'm wrong, but I remember them being faces, so if I'm wrong, somebody correct me. But I feel like it worked in that instance because they were so big of stars. You got two mid-card teams here. I don't see how you can pull it off and people buy into it. But I say that to say, you know, I'm going to go into the next segment, and I knew this was going to happen in this match before, as I was watching it. And I'm not trying to sell myself as knowing what was going to happen. I just felt like this is how it would end. So, y'all got anything else before I move to the next segment?
Nope.
All right. So, out of nowhere, what happens next, Doc and Harper, is what I knew would happen. The Battens and Davis and Dixie work for like a minute. The crowd is kind of into it, but then all hell just breaks loose, which is beautiful. We get a brawl with the Fantastics and the Fultons and the Heavenly Bodies and Cornette. Bob Cottle says Stan Lane has a helmet of some sort on, which, god damn, I don't know what to say other than what the fuck. And before we go any further, I got to stop and ask Doc and Harper. Harper, you first. Your thoughts on the water polo helmet that Stan Lane is wearing?
So he's wearing that because of his ears, huh?
Yes. But, Doc, your initial impression when you saw Stan Lane's get-up.
It was, hey, you know what'll look bad? Putting a beaver pelt on my already nice head of hair. You know what'll look worse? Putting a water polo helmet on top of that. Let's do it.
But he is a heel, so I have to give him credit. I think that was genius for him to put it on. As stupid as it looks, I don't want people to be mistaken here. I'm saying this shit looks fucking terrible. It's the fucking worst. It's the shit. But he's a heel, and that's great. I love it. I'm making fun of it, But if you're listening out there, Stan Lane, I love it. I love what you did. I don't know whose idea it was, but I thought it was fabulous for you to put the fucking water polo
on. It does fucking look like a beaver pelt, doesn't it?
We're talking about his wig.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It was the most unnecessary hairpiece in the history of hair.
Because I was watching it, I was like, is that the same guy? Because his hair looks different. First, I thought like it was a different guy thrown in there.
That's Stan Lane. It's the most unavoidable distraction you'll ever see in professional wrestling history, in my opinion.
So he was wearing that for a shoot? Like a toupee? Well,
okay.
They said he didn't tell anybody, and he just showed up with it. And everybody's like, "What the fuck are you doing?"
Right? Why do you have that fucking animal skin on your head? But I do have to say something here. Like, we're gonna talk about this on another. Well, we'll talk about it on another episode, so I won't bring it up about that.
Right.
Why you had that on. But let's get back to it. So Cornette, you know, again, we got a brawl going on. Cornette uses the racket a few more times, and it sounds off. They go off the air with nothing settled, but the Fultons have cleared the ring. Doc, your thoughts on how we end this week's episode?
Well, they're going off hot because remember it's a go home show. How does it feel to get hit with a racket?
If you're hit on your lats in your back with it, it's probably better than it is better than a metal chair cracking across your back. It's gonna sound off because of that cover Cornette's got on it.
Yep.
But I would rather get hit with that across the back than I would with some of the chairs that were.
Yeah, because it's got that nice leather covering, and if you're wet and sweaty, it's right. Gonna slap.
It's gonna sound off, and it's gonna sound a lot worse than what it is. Now, again, I'm saying if you're hitting it flat, of course not the corner of it or an edge, obviously. But Cornette, he was cracking him pretty good with the wide part of it. So I like how he did it. It sounds off. I don't think it hurt too bad. I'd rather that from experience than a metal chair any day of the week. Any day of the week. There was a guy on the indies back in the day. I don't even remember his name, but he basically stole Cornette's gimmick. He had a tennis racket, I remember. So, yeah. I mean, I've been hit with one before. Not that bad. Harper, would you agree?
Yeah.
Doc, anything else before we kick off over to our awards for the week?
Mm-mm.
All right. Well, if you're a first-time listener, please subscribe to us, however you get your podcast, iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, all that good stuff. And we would appreciate some more five-star reviews. So if you really enjoy this show, throw us some five-star reviews, and we would appreciate that because it helps us out on iTunes. And as Doc said, it helps out the algorithms in our ratings on iTunes. So please do so. Subscribe to us, like I said. Follow us on Twitter. We're at @BTT_podcast. I'm at @Mike504Saints. Hardbody Hopper is at @CJHWhoDat. If you are not already a patron member, please become one. It's $1 or $2 a month. There are some benefits to becoming a patron member. You can become a patron member by going to mikemills.podbean.com. At the very top of the page, there's a green button. It says become a patron. Look, we kick out 8 free shows a week. I'm sorry, a month, not a week. Please consider becoming a patron member. It helps us with the show. It helps me. I don't want to sound like Austin, but I got bills to pay with this show. It costs money, believe it or not. So please consider becoming a patron member if you really enjoy what we're doing. Also, you can donate to the show if you just want to do a one-time donation via PayPal. There's a PayPal link, again, at mikemills.podbean.com. There's the Amazon referral link at the top of the page on mikemills.podbean.com. And then follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/bookintheterritory. That's where you can get to our Pro Wrestling Tees store. Just click the Shop Now button. There's a Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast t-shirt along with our other t-shirt designs for the show. And with all that said, Doc, let's give out some awards. So Harper's never done this before, so we'll kind of have to explain it. Harper, we give out disability checks at the end of each episode because we're in the Smoky Mountains. And you know that fat woman in the front row that you call the Maytag woman or the Maytag woman? We try to figure out how many disability checks it was worth for this person to attend. So I'm going to let Doc do the disability checks first so you can kind of get a feel for it. And then we give out the Government Cheese Award, which is compliments of our listener, Shar Johnson, who suggested it. So, Doc, let's give out some disability checks.
So disability checks is basically a 1 to 10 scale on the episode so that I can re-explain this for you. And the Government Cheese goes to the top performer or craziest segment or most pop-worthy or whatever individual performer. So we've got a whole episode rating and an individual award. I actually like this episode better as we talked about it than I did when I rewatched it a couple of nights ago. So I actually upped my disability check number for the first time ever while we were talking about it here. And I'm going to go with a 6.9.
It's funny you say that. I'm going to give it a 7 because I like the – there were some decent promos here, like the Ron Wright one with the Dirty White Boy and Ron taking the heart pill. There was also – I thought Down and Dirty with Dutch was real good. And the main thing – the other thing, too, that kind of set me over the top would give it a 7 was the fact that Dutch had a lot of nice zingers in this episode, I thought, on the commentary. I really did. I really enjoyed Dutch's commentary this episode. So I give it – so what'd you do, 6.9, Doc?
Mm-hmm. I think that's the closest we've ever been to each other here on this.
The problem I'm falling into now is, like, you in the beginning – I've started to get further in. You know, we're recording. This is episode 24, but we
have done...
This is
23.
23, I'm sorry. But I have watched now a lot more, so if I were to go...
It taints your ability to judge this stuff objectively.
It certainly does. Harper, you want to give some disability checks out?
I'll give it... Look, a fucking Dirty White Boy promo alone... It's fucking awesome. I mean, it's a shame he didn't, you know, do better fucking after all this shit.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about that a lot, actually.
Because he's a fucking heel.
Yeah,
he's a real heel.
Yeah, he is. I'm sure you're talking about previous episodes, too, when you say that.
Yes.
He really is. He's a great heel.
Big bone, rugged, don't give a shit.
Yeah, for real. Don't give a fuck. Fuck you.
Spoiler alert. There's an episode coming up where Dutch Mantell visits him, and it's off-site. And I don't know.
At his house or something?
If you want to call it a house, yeah.
And that's part of the problem is Smoky Mountain starts to use a lot of off-site vignettes in the next few months and then throughout the rest of the – and it's so awesome.
Right.
They're all awesome.
It's beautiful. I mean, it's 100% beautiful.
So anyway, Harper, what's your disability checks?
Yeah, you give out
a 7.
So he gives it a 7 too.
Yeah.
Doesn't shock me.
About 8.
He's giving it an 8. So there we go. We're all close. We're all close in the same range. Doc, I'll do the Government Cheese Award first. I got to give it to Dutch. I thought Dutch on commentary this week was real gold. It's not one moment. But throughout the episode, I thought Dutch's commentary was just beautiful. Like, he had so many different spots where he was just, like, on it, you know, talking about just – he just was gold. And then the segment with Down and Dirty where he just completely flip-flopped and was a chicken shit heel, that's what made territory wrestling so great back then. So Dutch is my government cheese. Doc, who's your government cheese?
Well, I had Dutch in consideration for the same reasons. I also had Stan Lane for having the nutsack to walk out there with that shit on his head. But let me tell you something, and I plan to get heat for this. If you think there's going to be an episode with Ric Flair on it where he doesn't get the government cheese on a Smoky Mountain episode, you're mistaken, pal. I'm going with Ric Flair for my government cheese.
Get the fuck out of here. It's a fucking segment. Fuck you. That's fucking dumb.
He took the best bump on the show.
Harper, who's your government cheese award? I know we're putting you on the spot since it's the first time you're hearing this, but who would you give it to?
Fuck. Fuck.
You giving it to fuck?
Who gets the government cheese, man?
Why don't you give it to, like, Primetime Brian Lee and his ring rat assessment? You know,
yeah, all right.
So basically, I gave off Harper's government cheese award.
Out of all the faces, he seems the most...
White man, Mike. Always trying to figure out what to do with another man's government cheese.
Go fuck yourself. Harper, what were you about to say?
I think of all the single people, the single competitors for the faces, he does the best promos.
For now.
For now. You're right. I agree. That's very true. We're getting into... Bruh, I can't... let me stop talking. Because we got some shit about to pop off, wouldn't you say, Doc?
I can see a silhouette out on the horizon, but I don't know who it is, but it's got a mullet.
Bruh, shit's about to pop off. No spoiler, it's about to pop off. Shit's about to hit the fan.
I just hope it stays on.
We're like, We're like an airplane. YouTube. This shit's like an airplane. You,
Hopper, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it if it gets pulled off of YouTube. I can take care of you.
He gets
allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yeah. K-fabe. Allegedly. Kayfabe, brother. Okay. All right. So that's it. That's all we got this week. Doc, you got anything before I get out of here?
Let's go, man. We've been doing this too long.
Yeah, we got to get to record another episode on this wonderful day. But hey, if you're a first time listener, subscribe. Let me tell you, check out our regular show that we do each and every Thursday with our top fives and other classic wrestling talk that we do. And we spend some time shitting on the WWE because they're a fucking shit show these days. By the time this airs, the Royal Rumble would have happened. So I don't know. Who knows? I actually think the Royal Rumble build is actually decent right now from a WWE perspective, but whatever. We still do a lot of shitting on the WWE. So hopefully you've enjoyed this week's episode. We know you we know you're with us for the long haul, especially if you've gotten to episode 23. With all that said, since Harper is with us, I'm going to throw it over him to close this shit out. Harper, hit the tagline and get us out of here until next week's Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast Review Show.
Fuck it, bitch.
Wrestling fans, Smoky Mountain Wrestling comes to Benton, Tennessee at the Polk County High School on July 6th, bell time 7 p.m., and all seats are only $5. Four-team elimination match for $5,000. The Fantastics, the Heavenly Bodies, Dixie Dynamite, and Danny Davis, and Buddy Landell and Jimmy Golden. And in a Smoky Mountain title match, the Dirty White Boy meets primetime Brian Lee.
Woo-hoo! Benton, Tennessee, get ready, because the White Boy's coming to town, Daddy. And so is big primetime Brian Lee. Now, you're the Smoky Mountain heavyweight champion.
It was real easy to win it, wasn't it? It's going to be even harder to hang on to it. And Brian, little word of advice.
I don't think you're the man to do it, because you've got to face me and Benton, and that's where you're going down.
Hey, $5 a head, $5 a head to get into Benton. They ought to charge about $45 to see these men in action, but I tell you something, $5,000 on the line. Four-team elimination, Fantastics, Heavenly Bodies, Dixie Dynamite and Danny Davis and Buddy Landell and Jimmy Golden. I tell you what, Landell and Golden, they may give us a little bit of a scrap. Davis and Dynamite, you're going to explode, and in Fantastics, we're going to be left all alone with you to break some more bones in addition to that $5,000, right, Tom?
You see, when you are the Smoky Mountain Tag Team Champions, yeah. You might as well just draw a target on our backs, because everybody wants a shot. Yeah.
But everybody would also like to have $5,000, and in Benton, Tennessee, you guys are going to have the chance. But what you don't realize and what you don't understand is not only are we the greatest tag team to ever come around here, but we are the best-looking guys to ever come in this area. And all you stinking, snaggle-toothed, disgusting, puking women, keep your hands off us when we come to Benton, Tennessee, because Stan Lane and myself have been everywhere, and we're going to be some more places, and we're going to be $5,000 richer, man.
That's exactly right. Let me tell you something. When you think about the Heavenly Bodies, remember one thing. You can look, but you can't touch. When you think about $5,000, remember this. It's going to be in our pockets in Benton.
But right now, let's go to Bob Caudle, standing by with a special guest.
All right, Dutch, and you're right, and right here with me, fans, our Smoky Mountain heavyweight champion, primetime Brian Lee. Brian, all of Smoky Mountain Wrestling is buzzing, and they're buzzing about the partner that you brought in for Summer Blast.
You're exactly right, Bob. Fifth of stone. Yes. Fifth of stone. I'm so excited, I can't even hardly talk. I'm going to tell you what, White Boy and Paul Orndorff, you're taking him a little bit light. I just want to show you some of the things this man's done in the past.
Rick catches him, turns him around, chops him again. Oh, look at it. No. Now go. Garvin coming right back, taking everything Rick can get up. Again and again. Throws it across. Comes in. Ah, back up. Rick goes up, looks around, trying to figure a way to escape. Starts to climb up. Garvin goes right after him. Top of the fence, Rick. Oh! Straddles the ropes and down. Garvin up. Look at him. Up on the top rope. Here he comes. Sunset flip. 2, 3. He did it. He did it.
Brian Arias, and he's something to behold. We've seen that guy take out champions, many, many people with that tremendous fist of his.
You're exactly right. He takes out champions. He takes out wrestlers. And I guarantee you one thing. When Primetime Brian Lee and Ron Garvin stand side by side, it's going to be nothing but a butt whooping, baby. Because when we come to Knoxville for Summer Blast, there's nowhere you can hide, white boy. You've hit me with chairs. Paul Orndorff, you tried to pile drive me. You tried to take me out. And I'm still standing here with the gold. And I'm going to keep the gold. And Ron Garvin, when he gets a hold of you, and I'm standing there busting your head when he gets done, it's going to be songs and dances, baby. Primetime Brian Lee, Ron Garvin, Summer Blast, we're coming to you live.
All right, fans, you don't want to miss that one. And Mr. Wonderful and the Dirty White Boy, they got more than their work cut out for them. We'll be back. We'll have more right after we take this brief timeout. All right, fans, Summer Blast, that's going to be it. And by the way, right now, I want all you fans to take a look at something very special, a special presentation from Smoky Mountain Commissioner Bob Armstrong to one of Smoky Mountain's most devoted fans. Watch it here.
You know, tonight we have a special award for Miss Beulah Boshier. She's been a fan of Smoky Mountain Wrestling since its origin. We want to thank you for your support, Beulah. Beulah's been a wrestling fan for over 50 years. And we certainly appreciate it. She's seen matches from Maine to Mexico. And she says that Smoky Mountain is the best. And Beulah, we love you and we think you're the best. This is a lifetime Smoky Mountain Wrestling event pass. Good for anywhere you see Smoky Mountain Wrestling. By the way, Beulah's affectionate name is Bouncing Beulah. We love you, Beulah.
Wrestling is like it used to be back in the early days, and I love it, and I'll always be there if it's possible at all. I'll be there.
Well, we love you, baby. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much.